Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings, they're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Club and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself, because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, hey! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out here inside of the pod. This is audio only. Audio only exclusive. I didn't feel like doing a YouTube. And I can tell you some of the reasons why if you're interested. Or you could, you know, fast forward or whatever. But it's very strange when... Well, it's not strange. It's actually par for the course. When I do something that is non-Bears related for YouTube, it doesn't do well. The algorithm thinks that my podcast is a Bears podcast. So I am going to do some experimentation with it. The YouTube part of it will be mostly Bears. There's some other stuff that I want to do too that I might use the YouTube for and see if it can break the algorithm. Like, I was really happy that the Sarah Spain episode broke the algorithm. Like, it did the type of numbers that I would expect from an off-season Bears pod on YouTube. You guys on the audio platform, Spotify or on Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, like, it's still been great, and I appreciate your support. Give us 5 stars, please. That would be great. Write a great review for us. The more reviews, the better. It all helps with placement and trying to figure out how all of this algorithm stuff works for the podcast. But this one is going to be audio only. I already gave one warning. Let me give another one. If you are not into navel gazing, and I'm going to do a little bit of navel gazing, then this is not the episode for you, and that's okay. That's totally okay. That's your prerogative, Bobby Brown. You can move on and you can listen to another episode or go check out another pod. But I try to do this once a year, and the anniversary kind of snuck up on me. And I had a lot of stuff that I had to get done last week. So it made doing this particular podcast a little difficult. There were some victories last week, and that's good too. And I want to reflect on those. I started at the score on May 8th, 1998, you know, back in the 1900s, as the kids say. And so I'm entering my 28th year at the score this week. You know, I start a new week and a new year at the score, and it's been a ride. You know, I was reminded of the history of the station when I was at the Barrett's Summit, Barrett Sports Media, the BSM, not the BDSM, but the BSM Summit. I was reminded of some of the history of the station. Also, with Dan Jiggetts getting inducted into the Silver Circle, I was reminded of some of the really good stuff that the station has done over the last 33 years that it's been there, and I've been a part of it now for 28. Well, going into year 28, I finished year 27. I'm reminded of the theme song from Star Trek Enterprise. It's been a long road getting from there to here. And year 27 did not play out the way that I had planned for year 27 to play out. I am someone who likes to plan. And sometimes you feel like you have a grasp of what the future holds for you. And I find it difficult to not go into things with a plan. But I've had to do a lot of adjusting over the last year for sure. Because if we went back to May of 2024, my life was completely different. Dan and I were doing the show together. Layla was jumping in once a week. I was still working at NBC Sports Chicago, I ran into the boss of NBC Sports Chicago, John Shipman, yesterday. I was on Fox. I really like that show that they do, that Chicago Sports Tonight show. And I think Cassie Carlson is really talented. I'm either going to get her on the pod or on the show sometime soon to talk Bears. But John Shipman, who was like the boss at NBC Sports Chicago, was working as one of the EPs at Fox. And it was really good to see him for a lot of reasons. But it was also like a stark reminder of how quickly things can change inside of this industry and inside of the Chicago market. And it's really been that. Like this has been the toughest year of my career. And it's made me think about a lot of things on how I want things to end. And sometimes you don't get an opportunity to have things end the way that you want. Dan is a perfect example of that. Most of the time in our business, people don't get a last show. Sometimes it's celebrated, you know, like I'm very happy that Terry Bores got his last show and got to have all the bouquets of flowers that all of us have wanted to throw in front of him for forever. He got that, but it's very rare. A lot of times relationships between talent and network end in acrimony. And you go, well, when exactly is that going to happen to me? And I don't know. I mean, I can't tell the future. I know that I've got a lot of decisions to make about what I want my future to look like, because my contract will be up in June. So I've got some decisions to make. And as it stands right now, like I'm talking with the Score and the Score's talking with me. And so far, so good. Like it's been a really good conversation. But I do think about, like, how long is that going to continue? How long do I want it to continue? Do I want to do other things? Do I want to go and pursue the last piece of the Infinity Gauntlet for me, which would be an Emmy? I got everything else. And now I have two of the Lissagore Awards. Yay! Oh, man. I'll get back to navel gazing in a minute. But let me just say, going to the Lissagore Awards was reaffirming in some of the things that I believe are important. And it was nice. Like if there was a little bit of a, like having Friday be me sitting on a panel with Spiegs and Sylvie and talking about kind of where radio is and some of my issues with radio overall. To be at the Lissagore Awards and hear people talking about shrinking newsrooms and lack of resources, but also being incredibly encouraged by the fact that there are some of these really small media outlets that are doing incredible journalism and to be in a room filled with people who do care about journalism and speaking truth to power and integrity was a drug that I absolutely needed Friday night. And the plan wasn't for me to go, by the way, to the Listigore Awards. Like, I wanted Tanny to go because I wanted him to accept the award if we won it. Because that guy deserves everything. Like, he deserves the world. And a lot of times people who are behind the scenes don't get an opportunity to have those moments. So I wanted him to go, but we only had one ticket, and I kind of wanted Tanny and his wife to go. And we only had one ticket, so I went, and it was great, and I got a chance to sit in front of some incredible people. Sylvia Ewing, look her up. Like, she's a G, like an OG. She's a Eve Ewing's mom. And I'm sitting there, and she's asking me my thoughts about journalism, and I was talking with Justin Kaufman, and I had the opportunity, and I really like hate Justin on the softball diamond, absolutely love him in any other venue. Like, that guy and I are kindred spirits when it comes to what we think about journalism and sports journalism in particular. I got the award for the Brandon Johnson interview because it's not like NBC Sports Chicago could put it up there because it doesn't exist anymore. Like, you can't even find a YouTube of that interview. But we did it on the Score too. And Ray Diaz and Chris Tannehill, they remixed it, and there was conversation about it afterwards. So we repackaged it and we submitted it, and it got nominated. So it was very satisfying. The two awards the two Listigore awards that I've gotten have been some of the most satisfying of things of my career. The first one I got for talking about the importance of Jackie Robinson and how Jackie Robinson is not a mascot, and you have to look at his entire life and entire story arc to really have a mosaic of what that man is. And I got one for sports commentary for that, and it was extremely satisfying because I was up against writers, and seeing radio be put in a space where it could compete with writers was really, really great. And then seeing this piece and people talking to me about it and talking to me about the importance of interviews like that, I talk with my students all the time, and one of the questions that I pose to them just out of the blue is, what's the difference between a sports journalist and a political journalist? And the answer is nothing, if done well. I hate that politicians will often run to sports and sports talk as a shield, and they think their fandom allows for them to not be held accountable when it comes to the mandate of the people. And I don't feel that way. I used to hate it when I would hear Lori Lightfoot, you know, doing like a chuckle hut thing on the Score, or when people would be interviewing her about the Bears and real stuff that affects people. Like, the idea of using public money for private enterprise, and her kind of acting the role of a meatball to, I don't know, like, this is a highly educated woman, and whenever conversation turned to talking about the Bears, she got silly. And the same thing with Brandon Johnson. Like, this goes beyond whether or not you're a sports fan or whether you're a fan of sports radio. Like, this is real shit. This affects people. And sometimes politicians will jump into these spaces and act like they are shielded from the impact of their choices. And I'm glad that it was recognized that we weren't doing that inside of that interview and the subsequent conversation afterwards. So I appreciated that a lot. Like, it means a lot to me to be thought of in that way, to hopefully elevate what sports radio can be. That doesn't mean that we can't be silly. We can be goofy. We've been goofy over the last few days talking about the Pope. But I'm glad that there is still an appreciation for using the medium to do stuff that might mean a little bit more for people. I've always gravitated to this medium, and now it's expanded into the podcast space. I like that there are opportunities to kind of just speak freely, and I've always liked radio because you were kind of hiding a little bit. And for someone who is an extroverted introvert, it's worked perfectly for me. And I enjoy doing television too, and I'm looking forward to maybe doing some more and trying to figure out how to do some more over the next couple of years. But this has always kind of been where my heart is at. That being said, when I think about my time and I think about all of the things that have happened at the score, I wonder if, like, everyone has like the dream scenario of I get to a place and I get to that one place and I stay at that one place forever and then I retire. That's cool if you have like a union job with a pension at the end of it. Like, I think I'd be fully vested in a pension if you had one. This particular job doesn't really have that. I have my 401k. Like, I got that stuff. I have my savings, but that's my money, you know? So there isn't really a retirement plan, and there's no gold watches. There are gold watches. I shouldn't say that. And Terry has his name on the score studio, like the hallways there. And I think that that's super cool. But I know I'm going through a midlife crisis. Like, I know it. At 49, like, I'll be 50 in a few weeks. And I know that I go through the concept of wanderlust all the time. I'm thinking about buying a sports car. Is anything more cliche than a guy who's turning 50 buying a sports car? But not as like my primary, like as a secondary car. And then you have the question, why do you need a secondary car? I don't, but I'd want one. So I'm like looking around for that. And it also leads to me going, should the goal be to retire at the score? And I haven't come to a conclusion on that yet, but these are some of the questions that I ask myself. Is that the goal? And I've seen so much going into year 28.
Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
You know, I've seen a lot of stuff that makes me sad. I've seen a lot of people that I care about aren't there anymore. And the good thing is most of them have moved on to bigger and better things, which is kind of the goal. There's 100% some survivor's guilt when you've been at a place as long as I've been at it and you see people that you know are really good and they aren't there. You see people who've made mistakes and they aren't there. And then you look around and you go, wow, you're now the old guy. Like, I'm the only person who has a longer tenure, continuous tenure at the score than me is Russ Matera. And I hope Russ never retires as our voice. But I look up and I see that Chris Tannehill's been at the score 18 years now. And so it gives perspective and it gives you a lot to think about. How much will your body hold up for you to try something new? Should you, you know, to quote TLC, should you go chasing waterfalls or stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to? Michael Keaton totally gets that reference. That's kind of where I'm at with this. And it's funny, I didn't celebrate it this year. It's made me, I've been more contemplative about it than celebrating it. And that to me is a little weird too. that I'm in a space where I'm sitting here going, huh, I wonder what's next. I wonder what's out there. I wonder if I'm getting through, if I'm even getting through. I've been really bothered by, and I don't want to get too specific because I'll say this to you. And for those of you who listen to this podcast faithfully since it started, and I appreciate your support. Don't think that because I didn't say anything that I'm not supportive of people. I know when Dan was let go that people were like, why didn't you say anything? Part of the reason that I didn't say anything is because I don't want Dan tagged with quotes from me. I don't want him to have to open up Twitter and see, hey, did you see what Lauren said about Dan? And maybe that's the wrong strategy, but it was the strategy that I was going with. I didn't feel like I didn't feel like I needed to say anything publicly because I said everything I needed to say to Dan privately. And we're good. In fact, I'll keep that to myself until it happens. But seeing yourself be painted as a villain in a lot of different venues has been upsetting for me. And I'm just going to keep it 100 with you. Mainly because I try really hard to help people get to where they go. It's literally my North Star as a broadcaster. I believe in the concept of lift as you climb and try to get people to where they want to go. And you'd be surprised what people I've helped get to where they want to go. And that I'm still doing that. But it's the, what's the, it's the Jay-Z line? It's Batman feeling, where live long enough to see yourself become a villain. And there are times when I feel like that. And I feel like, oh, well, that's a telltale sign that it's time for me to go. And that someone else can build their legacy at the score or wherever I'm in the way of someone, they can build their legacy because clearly I have outlived my welcome to a lot of people. Now, for the most part, inside the house, inside the score, that is not the case. At least from what people tell me, that I am still someone that they like and respect and want to have around. But I also understand familiarity breeds contempt. And I've taken that into account. You know, and I'm taking that into account and trying to figure out what the next thing is that I want to do or how long I want to do sports radio. Those are all things that are on my mind. And it's like, it really sucks, man. Like, it really sucks to have people like call you outside your name. In some cases, threaten you. People just, folks who know better, journalists who know better, that instead of asking me what's going on, just go ahead and write whatever it is that you think happened instead of, even if you think I'm not telling you the truth, the idea of not asking me about me is ridiculous. It's bad journalism. Even if what you get from me is a no comment, you should still ask me. And I know that some of this goes with like having the job too. Like some of this is where we're at. And I'm not sure that I'm always happy with where we're at. And it's caused me to not do as much on social media. And partially because I'm not convinced, and I haven't seen enough data. Going back to something that Wright Thompson said years ago about this, I'm not convinced that all of these different social media modalities actually push people towards the product. I'm not saying that it's impossible, and I think there's clearly an economic force inside of the social media platforms that do make it worth it. It's why I'm interested in what ESPN 1000 is doing, where they don't subscribe to the Nielsen ratings anymore, and they're judging themselves off of the interaction of what's happening with their social media, what's happening with YouTube. They're judging themselves in a different way, and I think that that's incredibly bold and really interesting. And often, like, I'll tweet out that there's a new episode or whatever, and you want people to catch what you're doing on the podcast or on the YouTube page, but I'm not convinced that the juice is worth the squeeze with some of the stuff on social. And I've taken more of a voyeur. Like, I still see stuff, but I'm not sure how much engagement I want to do. And then if you're working for a television station or a radio station, does that make you more or less valuable to them? Does my 90,000 followers on Twitter, is that valuable to the score in the way that they think it's valuable to them? My bosses will often ask me, "Hey, can you tweet out that we're doing blank?" And I'm not sure that that translates to listenership. And I haven't seen anything compelling enough to make me believe that that's the case. It looks like Facebook still drives engagement, but we all know what Facebook has been like over the last 5 years. It's not great. And the interactions there can be even worse than some of the stuff you see on Twitter. And I know that there's, like, that's kind of the old man in me too, where you go, you just don't get it. And maybe I don't. If I were a newsbreaker, I think that there's a lot of value to it. Like, I look at someone like Shams or Adam Schefter. Yeah. But here's the thing. And to make my point, Shams tweets out, like, this morning, he was tweeting out the Giannis stuff. Schefter tweeting out the NFL schedule stuff. Does that mean I'm going to turn to ESPN? No. It means that I'm going to look at more of the stories on Twitter that either support or negate what Shams is reporting or what Schefter is. Like, I don't have the evidence that I would need to say that it's really worth it. And I know that at this point you're like, what is this episode of the podcast about? It's about all of these things. It's about all of these things that I've learned. And seeing this play out from when the score didn't have the internet. Like, we didn't have the internet. I've been there that long. That we used to still go look up stuff in almanacs. And now here we are. And does that mean that I am no longer viable? Now, the ratings that we do still subscribe to and do care about would argue the opposite of that. Spiegs and I have been number one for 18 consecutive weeks, I think it is at this point. No, I got that. Yeah, that's right. 18 consecutive weeks. No, that's not. It's 24 consecutive weeks. That's 24 ratings consecutive weeks. We've been number one. And I thought that would feel better than it feels. It felt really good when we were number one when we first got put together. And there is a financial component to it that feels great, which is why I can daydream about buying a 2010 Audi TT. That's the car that, in my mind, I'm buying. I don't know if I'm going to actually buy it. I'm also interested in, like, that, like, a 2019 Honda Accord V6 Coupe. I love that body design on it. But we've won, and we've done something that no other score show has ever done. And I am super proud of that. The contributions of Shane and Tanny and partnering with Spiegs, I'm very proud of that. because sports radio for a long time was not considered a serious player in radio. And now, when you look around the country, sports radio is the thing that most of these radio companies are relying on to bring in revenue. And it makes me mad. Like, there was this guy, and small things, right? And you try not to let some of those small things get to you. This guy was like, well, you only beat 1,000. No, sir. We beat everybody. And if you've ever listened to me and Spiegs or me and Dan, we didn't talk about 1,000. That's never what we talked about. You know what we talked about? Beating Wojo. And the reason that we talked about beating, why they became a goal for us, is because they were number one overall. We were chasing Wojo. And for us to, for Spiegs and I, to beat Wojo and to beat the light during Christmas season, when they're playing Christmas music, and they do it every year, and they make a lot of money off of it because people like Christmas music. They like to be happy. We beat BBM. And any other station, GCI, any other station that you want to throw at us, we beat them in our target demo, which is the only thing that matters to our bosses. You can throw 6+ ratings at me. Let me do a quick ratings thing for you, okay? The stuff that Feeder, for example, used to throw out there and say, here are the rankings of the top radio stations in Chicago. He was often using 6+ or 12+, meaning listeners who are 6 and above. That's not how radio stations operate. Every single radio station in the market has a target demo, and they are judged by what their stated target demo is and how their station does in that target demo. I haven't asked the people that run B96, although they're really smart, what their target demo is these days, because they've had a little bit of like a programming shift. I would imagine that their target demo is probably a little closer to ours. Ours is men 25-54. That's all we care about. That's the only listener that we care about from a rating standpoint. Do I want everyone to listen? Sure, it would be great. But it doesn't matter if the score ranks 19th in 6+ or 12+, because that's not what we care about. We're not trying to get 12-year-olds to listen to the score. We're not even trying to get 18-year-olds to listen to the score. I talk to my students all the time. Most of them are not in the demo yet. So beware of people who don't isolate the actual target demo. And the reason, here's the reason that they don't. Because Nielsen's is a subscription service, and you have to pay for that information. That's industry information. You got to pay for it. So if you're someone who's covering it, and you can't actually see what the rankings are, it almost serves no purpose of you putting it out there of, well, sports radio seems to be dying. No, sir. That is the opposite of what's going on right now. Now, if we start to slip in the rankings, like, I would be concerned if we ever are below 7 or 8 in our target demo of men 25 to 54, then you start like making assessments on whether a show is viable or that sort of thing. But that has not been the case. And I've lived long enough inside of the score walls to know that the way that we used to be sold from an advertising standpoint was, oh, well, you guys don't get the ratings. We're throwing in ad dollars at the score because we're buying XRT or we're buying BBM and we'll throw in the little guys that do the sports radio thing. I'm pretty militant about this because I saw it. I worked in sales. And now when you look around and you look at what actually is driving dollars inside of radio clusters, and not just Odyssey, it is the sports talk stations. Look at the highest ratings around the country. Look at what Valenti is doing in Detroit. Look at New England sports talk overall. Valenti, I think at one point, is doing like a 23 share. And that means that almost out of 100 radios or listening online, I'm using radio as a generic term, sorry, 23 of them were listening to Mike Valenti's show in Detroit. Here with Spiegs and I, we're number one, and it's eight out of 100 radios in our target demo are listening to us. And that's grown from where things stood a year ago, where it was six. So I hope that you're getting a lesson in radio. Let me wrap it up because I've already said too much, and I don't even know how interested you are in all of this. I will say that this year has been an awakening for a lot of reasons. Most of them good. I am so happy that Layla and Marshall are getting this opportunity that they have. I think that those two are really, really talented, and I'm doing everything within my power to help them, like whatever they need. If it's ideas, if it's guests, whatever they need, like I am at their disposal because I really think those two are sharp and fun, and their production staff, Ray and Robbie right now, really talented people. While we continue to put on the best show that we can do in the afternoons, and it grows and evolves and changes. And I'm grateful. I am. I know that this hasn't sounded like it, but I am. I'm very grateful. But I definitely feel like at times I've stayed too long. And I wonder what that means. If it means anything. Maybe it means that I'm thinking too hard about it. But we'll find out. Onward to year 28. And I appreciate your time, especially here inside of this podcast. And I appreciate your loyalty as a listener on The Score. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.